Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
What is pretty privilege and does it exist? Daniel Den Hollander, clinical psychologist. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning and thank you for having me on the show.
So is pretty privilege a thing? First of all, what are we talking about when we talk about pretty privilege?
I saw somebody saying in the comment section of that particular article that there's scientific proof for this. I spent about 2 days going through the research diaries that databases that I've got.
Right.
I couldn't find anything, to be honest, about pretty privilege. So I'm wondering if it's not one of these things where in society we come up with these terms. And to my understanding, that there's roughly a little bit of explanation around certain situations, but I wouldn't necessarily say that pretty privilege is a scientific construct or something that's understood. I think it belongs more in sort of pop culture and in society. And that's quite an interesting first reflection, because that says a lot more about us. And when we are approached with a concept like pretty privilege.
But that said, do we respond differently or more favorably to somebody who is pleasant looking? Do kids do that from a young age? I recall reading somewhere that children respond better to a teacher who's pretty than a teacher who isn't.
I think half the problem with the debate is the fact that pretty is very much socially constructed. I'll give you an example of that. For example, if you look at sort of about 400 years ago or 500 years ago, the type of models that you would have posing for painting was very different than what we have today. And in fact, somebody who was tanned was seen as unattractive, because that meant that you were working on the fields all day and didn't have the privilege, if you like, of being able to stay at home and have people look after you. At the same time, being thin was in those days not seen as a good thing at all and not attractive at all.
Right.
And things change. And so the eye of the beholder changes as well. So I think to an extent is to say, you know, we have to start there, is that pretty and especially in this line, is often more socially constructed than biologically constructed. There is a bit of truth
about
that.
Right, but that says that all that's doing is trying to convince us that our concept of pretty is just something that has been influenced by everything around us. If we're influenced, it still exists, or does it?
Of course, it exists in the sense of wanting to belong. I mean, for example, one of those sentences you started off with is about men being silly. But I almost wanted to correct you as you said that and said men in bars with a bit of alcohol in them.
Yeah, that's also true.
It's also just to say that, you know, in certain situations, yes, maybe being prettier gets you a drink at a bar. If you meet the standards of the person who is trying to provide you with a bar. But that's a social engagement that happens there.
Mm.
The idea that I need to have a drink bought for me or need to be chatted up in a place like that. When we know, for example, that most people find their life partners not in those types of forums, I would go so far as to say even on the online forum, that the opportunities of finding soulmate, but finding a connection and finding a life partner on online, you know, you gotta go through a lot of individuals in order to find that person. So you might get more opportunities with people that are swayed by those types of things, but it's a social engagement that you're interacting with.
What I've always wondered, and it's on the same similar subject, is why do we often find that couples look the same? And whereas they might not look the same, they seem to be on the same level of look.
You know, to be very honest with you, you know, I'm in a married relationship at this point in time. I think it's been a long time since I last bought myself my own clothes.
In other words, she took potential and she molded it.
Well, that depends what I look like now.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I think probably it's got something to do with that. But I think also, you know, we tend to familiarize people as a couple and then we see them together. And that's probably it's got something also to do with ourselves. This is that, those two now, you know, it's that awkwardness of when a new relationship, you see two individuals, and you're like, how can these two be, together? Mm. And before long, they're just known as the couple. So I think it's probably got something to do with familiarity and how we conceptualize people together. But I think there's definitely a bit of molding going on.
Right, right. So, at the end of the day, do you think that pretty privilege, from a psychological perspective, do you think pretty privilege is a thing? Do we respond better? Do we give, do we give pretty people more time? Do they get away with more just because they've got the looks?
It's one of those difficult ones because the obvious answer is yes. Obviously, right. A conception of somebody being prettier than somebody being a Nazi being pretty, that a lot of people buy into that type of thinking and they buy into that type of engagement and they respond to that. So I want to say, yes, if you abide by that by that script, but there's a lot of people who do not abide to that script, and then the answer would be no. I think it's if you're the sort of person who wants to go into first interactions and you know, for example, things like sales, things like picking someone up at the bar, things like having a drink bought for you, then I think, yes, pretty privilege very much does exist because the social interaction asks for it. But we've got to remember that, and this reminds us, me of the last conversation we had, is that the world is not your social media account, you know, and we're being a little bit trained, unfortunately, into this perspective of, as if it's the only perspective out there. Whereas the high majority of hookups, of partnerships, of relationships don't take place in those contexts. And so it's almost, if I may say, a privilege to have the issue of pretty privilege, you know. And also what worries me a bit about this pretty privileged thing is that it's specifically engineered towards a specific culture and specific setting, because we know that different countries and different cultures and different places have different ideas of what beauty is. And what's beautiful about today is that we have a much broader idea of what pretty is, or what beautiful is, or what good looking is, or what attractive is. And that is forever evolving and changing too. And thank goodness, because we don't all have to be attracted to the same person. Otherwise life would be very bland.
Yeah. And very confusing. It is, it is 7:27. Your thoughts, your reaction, please. That was Daniel Denhollander. He is a clinical psychologist talking to us about pretty privilege. Yes or no? Do you think it's a real thing? Do you think it exists, and how do you manage it in your world?